The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today on Grace in Focus, a question about how and how much we are led by God. Romans 8:14, what does it say about the Holy Spirit's role, if any, in the daily guidance of a believer's life? Stay tuned, we're going to talk about it, and we're glad that you're with us today, friend. This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find us on the web at faithalone.org. Find out more about our national conference coming up in May 19th through the 22nd. Registration details, early bird registration, and first-time registration available now at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we got a question from Brad, one of our listeners there in Wisconsin, asking about Romans 8:14. I'll go ahead and read that first.
Sure.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Now, that's the New King James.
Yeah, that's the New King James. And Zane has his own translation in our commentary, and he writes, in fact, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are God's sons.
So that's St. Hodges in his commentary on Romans, deliverance from wrath.
Right.
Okay.
Brad has three questions on this verse. First, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Second, can you give an example of being led by the Spirit? And third, I guess in connection with that, from Scripture and possibly your own life.
Well, first of all, we have the question, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? A lot of people think, and it sounds like Brad is suggesting maybe that's what Paul means, is to be led by the Spirit is to be guided by impressions, guided
right.
by feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking down the street, and I see somebody sitting on a bench, and I feel impressed to go evangelize them. Or I'm driving down the street and I see somebody sitting on the side of the road and I feel impressed to stop and talk to them. Do I do that? Would it be sin if I don't stop? What I would suggest is being led by the Spirit in Romans 8:14 is being guided by the Holy Spirit via the Word of God to do God's will.
So it's not some sort of vague impression or feeling that you get. I mean, I think that's the most common
right.
conception there. And then some people would say, well, if you're not having those types of feelings or impressions, you really need to doubt whether you're really a believer or not.
Right. The problem with that is, first of all, it's contrary to what Paul's talking about here, and we can get more into that in a second. But secondly, it leads to psychological disaster. Think about it. If you carry this to its logical conclusion, doesn't God want everyone to be saved? 1 Timothy 2:4?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm walking down the street. Every person I see, I should stop and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving down the street. I shouldn't make it 20 feet if I'm in a big city before I have to stop and talk to somebody and then another few feet and I have to. How would I ever go to work? How would I ever go to school? Yeah, if you're in a real small town, maybe you've evangelized everybody eventually and you don't have to stop.
Right.
But if you're in a big city, you'd never get anywhere. Let's say you said, well, no, that's obviously ridiculous. So I'm not going to talk to everybody. I'm just looking for people that God's impressing me to talk to. How do I distinguish between a feeling that I should do something and a thought? Shouldn't I have compassion for every single person I see?
Yeah. How do you know those are your own internal feelings or this supposed God-given, Holy
right.
Spirit-led feeling?
Right. It would lead to, in my view, nuttiness, and you end up then being guided by what you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe I really don't feel like stopping the car. I really don't feel like stopping while I'm walking. The key to it is we're to be guided by the Word of God. We're not guided by feelings or impressions. Brad goes on to mention that he read Gary Friesen's book, Decision Making and the Will of God, and some of these questions relate to that. I know Gary Friesen. I taught with him for a year at Multnomah School of the Bible, now Multnomah University, and we talked about some of these issues. But first, let's get into Romans 8:14, and then let's come back to see. It's a different question. I would argue, no, Romans 8:14 isn't talking at all about impressions or feelings. But we could discuss that issue. That's mm-hmm. a separate question, because that's not what Romans 8:14 is talking about. So let's hit Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. I would argue, first of all, that being led by the Spirit means simply that the Holy Spirit is guiding us via His Word. And I think we have a quote from Zane Hodges. Maybe you could read what he says about what it means to be led by the Spirit in that verse.
In the context of Romans 8, this has nothing to do with what is often described as the leading of the Lord. That concept is essentially an appeal to some inner direction that is more mystical than biblical.
Now stop there. That idea itself, Hodges is saying, is more mystical than biblical. All right.
Here, the larger context suggests a life in conformity to the revealed will of God as found in His Word.
So it's conformity to the revealed will of God as found in His Word. Well, if that's the case, then obviously this wouldn't be something true of all believers, because an immature believer or a believer who's in the spiritual far country like the prodigal son would not be someone whose life is in conformity to the revealed will of God.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
So this leads to the question, what does the second part of the verse mean when he says, these are the sons of God? Or how does Hodges translate it? These are
God's sons.
How does that part work? I think Hodges has a good explanation of that. And before you read it, years ago, Ken Yates did a talk at our conference in which he suggested that this expression, sons of God, is sometimes used. Romans 8:14 is one of the verses he cited, but there's also one reference in the book of Revelation, and I believe it's also found in a few other places, where sons of God refers to not all believers, but to mature believers, and that children of God refers to all believers, but that sometimes sons of God refers to mature believers. We'll read what Hodges says about God's sons in Romans 8:14.
It is natural here, I guess he's referring actually to Galatians 4:1-7,
yeah,
to take the expression, the sons of God, as a reference to the life experience of the adult son who is not under the law.
Right.
Now, the one led by the Spirit lives the life of an adult son who is no longer under the law. Note especially Romans 6:14.
What he's suggesting here is that the adult son, the mature son, is what Paul is talking about here. The issue in Romans 8:14 is not that all believers are living lives in conformity to God's revealed word, but that mature believers are doing so. And I think that's the point of the verse. Now, let me get to the other question that Brad's asking about. Could I give examples from my own life? Well, sure.
Yeah.
Every time I make a decision not to do something because it's contrary to God's word, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So I'm tempted to cheat on my taxes, and I don't do it. I've just been led by the Spirit of God. I'm tempted to lie. I don't do it. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I've considered supporting my local church, and I do it. I'm being led by the Spirit of God because the Word of God tells me that I'm to give to the local church. When I was considering marrying Sharon, I was weighing out various biblical principles. I was led by the Spirit of God. Now, I wasn't even considering unbelievers because that would have been outside the revealed will of God.
Yeah. So it's similar to my own story. I remember when I was dating Letitia, my dad came to me at one point. He was, why don't you consider other people? You know, we know people. And I remember I told my dad, I'm open, but they need to be a believer.
Yeah.
And that was my response. And I guess, why was I saying they need to be a believer? Because the word tells us we should marry a believer. And I guess in that instance, I was being led by the Spirit of God.
Exactly. When I've taken some of what Gary Friesen has written and put it in popular terms, I use it in golf terms. Yeah. In golf, there are inbounds areas and out-of-bounds areas. If you hit the ball out of bounds, you get a two-stroke penalty.
Yeah.
Well, stroke and distance, which ends up two strokes. In life, God says, don't be a prostitute, don't be a pimp, don't be drunk with wine. There are certain out-of-bounds areas, and if you do those things, you're going to reap the consequences. And there's a whole lot of inbounds areas, but what I like to say is that because something is inbounds doesn't mean it's wise. For example, I could marry any believer I wanted when I was single, but if I had married very spiritually immature, that would have been an unwise decision. You could marry someone who's only been sober for the last month, but that probably wouldn't be a good decision. If you're really attracted to that person, wait a year or two and see, are they still sober? Are they maintaining their sobriety? You've got all kinds of questions in life, and I like to say, too, even if you're making a good decision, that doesn't mean it's the best decision.
Right.
So you need to pray and get counsel from people and advice. And I remember talking to Gary Friesen about this, and he said, you know, we can look back years later on things that happened in our life and think, I believe God was probably at work in my life through circumstances, through the advice of people, through ideas I had, that God was probably moving me in a certain direction. But that doesn't mean at that very time I could say, God's moving me in that direction. Even if you think God's moving me in a particular direction by my desires and by circumstances and the advice of people, you still have to say it's a decision.
Right. And primarily, God leads you through His Word. Any decision is not going to be contrary to what His Word reveals.
Right. And even if it's within inbounds area, it doesn't mean it's a good idea. If a friend comes to you and says, you need to take your life savings and invest it in this penny stock, that's probably a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And if you end up losing everything on that penny stock, don't blame God.
Yeah.
Don't say, well, that was a Christian that gave me the advice.
Yeah.
I saw a documentary recently about a pastor who bilked people out of millions and millions. Lots of people lost their life savings because it was a pastor.
Yeah, you're not going to find in God's Word where it tells you, go invest your money in a penny stock.
Right.
Yeah, and well, I promise you, you will have 1,000 times return on that.
Right. If people are offering you a really terrific return, beware.
Right.
I would say, Brad, make good decisions based on the Word of God. But Romans 8:14 is not telling us we're to be guided by impressions, and we need to be wary of this whole approach.
Yeah, God leads through His Spirit, through His Word. And the sons of God here, it's not any believer, it's mature believers who are following God's Word.
Amen. Well, follow what God tells us in His Word, and you'll keep
grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, did any Old Testament believers believe in a Messiah but failed to recognize Jesus and therefore rejected Him? Let's talk about it when we get back together, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.